Welcome to God and Country Radio, a weekend program that discusses current social, political, economic, and prophetic events in the light of biblical theology. I'm your host, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey, exit 120 of the Parkway. In my program last week, I addressed the moral foundation of the Democrat Party and Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. How leftists believe that they have moral superiority over conservatives because they build their morals and their policies upon human freedom rather than the moral law of God, what historically has been called God's natural law. Now, freedom can be a virtue, but in the hierarchy of God's law, it's a virtue that's under and must be limited by the moral law of God. Christians and a Christian country are all about freedom. Think of Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of bondage. However, in the same chapter, Paul goes on to explain that liberty is not a blank check. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For you are called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. So therefore, the Christian view of liberty is not license, but liberty to do what's right, not liberty to do what's wrong. Liberty doesn't mean the right to steal, rape, and pillage. And so in the founding of America, it was clearly understood that liberty is to be limited and controlled by God's moral law. We have the famous hymn, America the Beautiful. America, America, God, mend thy every flaw. Confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law. Notice how liberty was clarified. Now, that sounds like a contradiction, because law always conflicts with individual liberty, but it really doesn't conflict if we understand that any action that violates the moral law of God is not true liberty, but a form of bondage. As Jesus said in John chapter 8, the Jews said to Jesus, "We have never been in bondage to anyone." And Jesus replied, "He who commits sin is a slave to sin." So you think you're free, you think you're free politically, but if you're committing sin, you're actually in a form of spiritual moral bondage. You can't have true liberty if there's sin, because the principle of sin negates and mitigates against true moral liberty, true self. So anyway, there is a biblical definition of liberty, and there is the secular humanistic definition of liberty or freedom. Now, by the way, liberty is the Latin-French word. Freedom is the Anglo-Saxon English word. But they mean the exact same thing. And the difference between the biblical versus the humanistic definition of liberty can be seen in the difference between the American Revolution and the French Revolution. The French Revolution was all about liberty and all about the Declaration of Rights of Men, liberty, property, security, and resistance to oppression. It all sounded good, but in practice, in France, it was lawlessness, because it also included freedom from the church and freedom from God's law. But the American Revolution emphasized political liberty under the rule of God's law, because God is above the state, not because man ought to be free from all authority. So Kamala Harris is making one of her campaign platforms freedom. We will constantly be hearing her say, "Freedom, freedom, freedom. My presidency will be all about freedom." And really, that's no surprise, because as I just pointed out, the left builds their morals and their policies on the foundation of human freedom, not on the moral law of God. But now they're being more bold in admitting the truth. Time magazine did a piece on Kamala's campaign slogan entitled, "How Kamala Harris took freedom back from the GOP, the Republicans." And believe it or not, Time magazine came out and admitted that Kamala Harris and the Democrats have a new and different definition of freedom. Well, bear with me on this. This is long, but it's worth me reading. Quote, Vice President Kamala Harris announced her campaign in an ad that used the word freedom four times. She framed her message about the economy, gun violence, and abortion as freedom not just to get by, but to get ahead, the freedom to be safe from gun violence, and the freedom to make decisions about your body. For half a century, the word freedom has been mostly absent from the vocabulary of Democrat campaigns. The word and the concept, as well as the cognate liberty, have been co-opted by Republicans since Ronald Reagan was a candidate for president. Freedom, Reagan said, is never more than one generation away from extinction. But Republicans did not just commandeer the word. They also changed the concept. They altered our sense of its meaning from a vision of equality to a more limited negative freedom. Freedom from state power, from regulation, freedom from any obstacle put in the way of free enterprise. Harris is remaking the sense of freedom from the negative freedom of overcoming constraints to the positive freedom of self-realization and achievement. Unquote. So notice this. Freedom is now defined as self-realization and achievement, as in DEI ideology. You be you, be your authentic self, and don't be hindered by any of those laws from the past. As Harris has often said, imagine what can be, unburdened by what has been. Which, by the way, if you understand what she means by this, you'll understand that this is a statement of rebellion against traditional American values. Well, the Times article goes on. But Vice President Harris's revival of freedom was not something that came out of nowhere. Since the 1960s, Democrats grasped the idea of positive freedoms as self-realization, the ability to fulfill one's potential without constraints. This has been the public side of the civil rights movement, which was the freedom to not be discriminated against, and the personal freedom to achieve one's potential. Joe Biden mentioned freedom 15 times in his 2024 State of the Union, and freedom and democracy four times. Obama used the word a total of four times in his final three States of the Union. Harris is performing the same trick of combining the narrative of saving our democracy with protecting and enlarging upon our freedoms. That's a more inclusive message and a winning one. Listen for the more liberal use of the word and the idea of freedom this week at the Democrat convention, not just by the candidate, but by all of her surrogates. Unquote. So I hope you understand what's going on here. The Democrats used to be reluctant to use the word freedom because they knew most people understood freedom as freedom from taxes and freedom from big government and authoritarianism. But the Democrats want big government. But now that freedom has successfully been redefined in the American mind as freedom from moral constraints, freedom to have an abortion, freedom to practice LGBTQ, freedom to choose your gender, freedom to take money from others and redistribute it, the Democrats can now use the word freedom to promote their lawless policies. Because they believe, and much of the American public now believes, that freedom is the sole good foundation for national morals. And notice also that Time magazine makes the claim that the Republicans have changed the meaning of the word freedom, and that the Democrats are using the original meaning of the word. And this is the writer of the article, Richard Stengel, doing some revisionist history, putting a spin on the truth. Now, in her campaign rally, Harris has gotten permission from Beyonce to use her song, Freedom. Freedom, I can't move. Freedom, cut me loose. Singing, freedom, freedom, where are you? Because I need freedom too. I break the chains all by myself. Won't let my freedom rot in hell. Freedom. Now, if you examine the lyrics and the ideology of the song, It is the postmodern ideology of doing your own thing. The spirit of the age and rebellion to God's constraints. I mean, Satan himself could have sung that song in his original rebellion against God. This is Psalm chapter 2. The kings of the earth and the people taking their stand together against the Lord, saying, "Let us tear God's chains apart, and let us throw away his cords from us." Here's an article from MSNBC. Why Beyoncé's Freedom Song is the perfect campaign song for Kamala Harris. And what reason does the article give? Because the song reflects Kamala Harris's goal of freedom to have an abortion and freedom to practice LGBTQ, T for transgenderism and Q for queer. So let's not be naive. The art reflects the heart. I mean, Harris could have chosen Aretha Franklin's song Freedom from the 1970s, or she could have chose Elton John's song Philadelphia Freedom. But the definition of freedom for Harris is Beyoncé's song Freedom. I break the chains all by myself, won't let my freedom rot in hell. So here's the larger, more important point that Christians need to understand. In the last days, the rebellion against God will be a lawlessness sold under the values of personal freedom and liberty. The Antichrist is called the man of lawlessness. In the prophecies in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, lawlessness is actually referred to three times. He's the man of lawlessness. There's the mystery of lawlessness. And he's the lawless one. And what's happening is that modern man is duped into believing that righteousness is building your morals and your ethics upon personal freedom. What is right is being determined by what gives people freedom to do what they want to do. Righteousness is self-affirmation and determination. And of course, this means human choice trumps God's law. What is right affirms my desires. And if we're to evangelize others and share the gospel, we need to help people realize that coming to God means moving off of the wrong foundation of self as the basis for morals and deciding to build on the foundation of God and his authority. That is what it basically means to declare Jesus as Lord. Romans chapter 10, if you confess Jesus as Lord, you'll be saved. This decision to change foundations is choosing to submit to a law of God coming from outside of oneself. Submitting to a law that conflicts with our natural sinful desires. Denying self and instead affirming God. We're never going to win anyone to Christ and to his truth unless we address the wrong foundation upon which people are building their ethics and their worldview. Proverbs 21:22, a wise man scales the city of the mighty and brings down the stronghold in which they trust. Psalm 11, verse 3, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And the answer is nothing. There can be no personal conversion or national revival without people first having a proper moral foundation. Now, someone might say, don't all we need to do is preach the cross of Christ? Well, biblically, there is something that needs to precede the presentation of the gospel. Galatians chapter 3, the law is our schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. Before receiving the good news of Christ, one must accept the bad news. People must realize that they're lost, that they have built their lives on the wrong foundation, that they have to repent and accept the authority of God and his definition of righteousness. I used to always wonder what Luke chapter 1, verse 17 means about the prophet John. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. I used to wonder why did the nation of Israel need some sort of preparation before the arrival of Jesus? And what exactly did that preparation entail? Well, the prophet John's ministry was a ministry preaching repentance, as we read in Luke chapter 1, verse 17, to bring the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous. What's the attitude of the righteous? The word translated attitude is the Greek word phronesis, which is the Greek word for mind. So the verse is saying that the disobedient need to change their mindset, change their worldview. And what's that? Well, they must go from a belief that truth is derived from self to I need to submit to the truth of God. I need to listen to God. I know quite a few Christian parents who have older children who are secular leftists, and they're grieved over the politics of their children, so they find themselves debating the issues with them. But these parents need to realize that if they're ever going to win their children's minds must be changed to the attitude of the righteous. So instead of arguing over specific political policies and issues with people, we must instead calmly explain to the lost their wrong foundation for morals and why they think the way they think, and what it means to change foundations and come under the authority of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition. So teach what? Correct them in what? So here's my challenge to you, to include in your witness an explanation of the two opposing worldviews, the two opposing bases for right and wrong, because this generation of young people coming out of state universities and public schools are being taught that righteousness and goodness and virtue is all about personal freedom, and that those who believe in traditional Christian morality are the oppressors. This is actually Satan's philosophy that he successfully propagated on the world in these last days. And with this attitude, it's no wonder why there's no revival in America. Because this is a people who are not prepared for the Lord. We certainly have much to teach this generation. Psalm 71:18, "Even when I'm old and gray, O God, do not forsake me, until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to all who are to come, for your righteousness, O God, reaches to the heavens." Let's declare to this generation the righteousness of God. Here's an example of the way young adults are thinking, and it's quite sad. A recent article in the Wall Street Journal entitled "Abortion Rights Gets Fresh Cash Infusion." The billionaire Bill Gates has a daughter, Phoebe Gates, age 21, and the supermodel Carly Kloss, age 32, are giving millions of dollars to support abortion rights. Quote, "Phoebe Gates recalls a moment 2 years ago that set her on the path to donating millions of dollars to abortion rights groups. When Roe v. Wade was overturned, her mother, Melinda Gates, urged her to stay angry and then asked Phoebe, what's she going to do about it? So after visiting some abortion clinics, she realized the effect that abortion bans has on women, limiting their freedom. So, quote from Phoebe Gates, "For me, having freedom to make decisions about one's future really kind of transcends everything," says Gates, who graduated from college in June. Unquote. So there you have it. She's been totally convinced by the education system, by the spirit of this age, that your freedom, your decisions, transcends everything. Probably nobody has ever presented to her in college the other side, that God's law should be placed above us, that God's law transcends everything, and it doesn't matter what we think is good for us. God says what's good for us is protecting and cherishing life. The model, Carly Kloss, also believes what Phoebe Gates believes, and what's believed by millions of other young women. So Kloss has created the Gateway Coalition that has donated $3 million to support the murder of babies in the womb. Wendy Schmidt, the wife of the former Google CEO Eric Schmidt, has donated $10 million to state ballot initiatives to promote abortion. Connie Ballmer, the wife of the former CEO executive Steve Ballmer, has donated $2 million. Phoebe Gates says that her foundation will give $200 million over the next 2 years to groups supporting abortion rights. So why are all these leading women doing this? Because they truly believe that a woman's right to be free from a child comes above the life of a child. There's that word freedom again. And these women truly believe that personal self-will should come above any law of God. That's really why people love and support the Democrats and Kamala Harris. They're living on the same ideological foundation, and they want to promote it because they want it to be right. And this is the attitude in the world that will cause the world to embrace and worship the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness. One more example of how these people think. Kamala Harris had a racist Zoom call called White Women for Harris, where there are 164,000 women on the call. The meeting broke the world record for the largest Zoom call and featured a host of celebrities presenting their ideology, which was a real eye-opener. Evangelical pastors aren't making this stuff up when they point out that the left is in the rebellion described in Psalm chapter 2. The actress Connie Britton spoke in the call. I want you to hear what she said concerning her philosophy of law and morals. Quote, "As women, we have to blow up our lives in order to truly know ourselves, empower ourselves, free ourselves. This is because my life experience tells me that the structures of the culture are deeply defined for us, and we must behave within those confines of these structures. Of course, these structures were created by men to benefit them. So the only way we can break free from them is by literally blowing them up, which my life experience tells me often looks like bad behavior, but it is in fact an act of deep self-love." Unquote. And that describes perfectly the great apostasy. The law of nature and nature's God, laws concerning gender and family are considered human constructs that must be overturned, that were created to oppress people. That is what freedom is all about. And it's just the same old lie, same presented in the garden. And notice she knows that this leads to what people have historically understood to be bad behavior. But it's right for her because it's based on a love for herself. 2 Timothy 3. In the last days, difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And with that, I conclude. If you don't get anything else from this program, understand how lawlessness and rebellion against God is now being depicted as the virtue of freedom and liberty. But God's salvation comes to those who choose to build their moral foundation and their truth upon Christ. One final verse, Psalm 45:7, which is again quoted in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9, is the reason God the Father honors God the Son above all. Because, quote, "He loves righteousness and hates lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed him with the oil of gladness above all of your brethren." And if we're to be on the side of God with Jesus, and if we also want the approval of God, we must also choose a love for righteousness and a hatred toward lawlessness. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website is godandcountryradio.org. Just spell it out, godandcountryradio.org. From there, you can get all the links to the extended video version of this program at Rumble and YouTube. Again, that's godandcountryradio.org. Thanks for listening. Build your life on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11, "For no one can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Christ Jesus." And may Jesus Christ reign.